The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourself, and you will have peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. If ever there were some radical statements in the gospel, today would be the day that we read them. Okay, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's like, wow, did Jesus wake up and have a bad day? But what Jesus is ultimately telling us is you don't play with sin and you don't play with eternal life. And what wisdom there is in those words. Look, it's better for you to go into life, going to heaven maimed with two hands, for example, to go to Gehenna, aka hell. You know, what would you rather do? Go into heaven, paradise, missing a limb or something? Or would you rather bring your entire body for eternal punishment? So that's what he's telling us. I think here's the thing. Why is it? I mean, intellectually, we get it. But here's the thing. We very easily form attachments to things. And we can very easily, if we're not careful, form attachments to things that are sinful and do us harm. I sometimes think that we're like a bunch of Catholic meth heads. You know, during the COVID years, right, when I myself had COVID, frankly, there's nothing else to do because you have too much brain fog to like study or pray well. So what do? You end up binge-watching shows that you've never actually binge-watched before. I've never binge-watched anything before in my life, but I latched onto Breaking Bad, which is about, you know, this guy cooking methamphetamine. And it does a very good job portraying, look, there's absolutely nothing good about the stuff, okay? It's just a lifestyle that just causes misery. But why do people get attached? Because in order to latch on to those moments of feeling pretty good about things, we're willing to put up with all the consequences. That's the problem with, for example, drug addiction, is we go searching for those momentary kind of fleeting moments where you feel good, and the price tag is just simply not worth it. And it just drags us down and it is absolutely ruinous. Well, the same thing, if it's true of something like methamphetamine, it is so much more true of those subtle sins that we don't even recognize, that sometimes we justify to ourselves and we say it's really not so bad. If something is stopping you, even if you get into heaven, if something is stopping you from advancing in holiness, you think about what your eternal reward is going to be. Heaven lasts forever. And if you are, you know, if we want to look at things mathematically, God is not a mathematician, thanks be to God, but if you want to look at things mathematically, if you had like a bar graph, you know, if you were just even to ratchet up your level of happiness by a little bit in terms of the, you know, the up and down scale, but if that bar graph extends forever, that's an infinite amount. So any amount of increase in holiness Any amount of increase in eternal reward is going to be infinitely worthwhile. C.S. Lewis has a very good image in one of his books. I don't know if you've read The Great Divorce, but there was, it's a fantasy book, but the idea is, the gist behind it is, even if God took somebody who's in hell, even if God invited them to come and hang out in heaven and gave them a second chance and says, hey, come on, try it out, see if you like it, the people that are in hell are there for a reason. In the end, they wouldn't be able to handle heaven, and they would prefer to go back. That's absolutely true, by the way. But he gives the example of this one guy who is dealing with the sin of lust. And the sin of lust takes the form symbolically of this lizard that sleeps on his shoulder. And one of the angels appears to him and says, hey, do you want me to kill that thing? And that guy's like, well, yeah, I mean, it causes me so much misery. Well, let me kill it. Well, you know, it's like, look, he's asleep right now. He's not bothering me. And the thing is, the guy's terrified because at the same time that he knows that he's got this sin here and he hates it and it causes him so many problems, when push comes to shove and the angel is there, I can kill it right now. It's like he's just terrified of the prospect because he's become attached. In the story, something very beautiful happens. Finally, the guy says, okay, fine, go ahead and kill it. And the angel, you know, kind of sticks his burning finger on the little lizard, and the lizard's shriveling up, and the guy's screaming in agony. But then instead of the guy, you know, beforehand, the guy's thinking, I'll never be able to live without my lizard. But what happens is the lizard actually becomes transformed into this, like, glorious, like, unicorn or horse or something. And the guy becomes transformed. Once the vice is killed, God is able to use precisely that vice, what was a vice before, the temptation, and it turns into this magnificent horse that he's able to ride and ride off into the sunset and become closer to God with. And that's why God allows things that are temptations to us. They become chariots or means of sanctification if we know how to use them. Knowing how to use them, frankly, means knowing how to reject them. But if we allow ourselves to become attached to them, then in the end, we're kind of like Catholic meth heads, okay? We're people that are addicted to something that is absolutely self-destructive. And in the end, the consequences are going to be real bad. So if you don't want to be a Catholic meth head, then Jesus gives us the advice. Let's get radical about sin. Let's call it by name. Let's cut it off whenever it's there. And if we have anything in our lives that is dragging us down in the spiritual life, let's be willing to be a little bit ruthless, knowing that in the end, God is going to be the one to bless us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.